Amen. I don't think we need to say anything more, really. All month long, we've been learning to pray. And I was wondering maybe if that was sort of a waste of time, if you have an Alexa. Does anyone have an Alexa? I feel like Jay Leno. Anybody heard of this? Anybody heard? Just this week, the Church of England put out an app on Alexa that you can just ask Alexa and she will recite the Lord's Prayer for you. So I hope I haven't been wasting your time teaching you to pray and learning how to pray, and all you had to do is say, Alexa, please pray for me, and apparently she will. Now, I don't know if that's going to actually work, so maybe we should continue with the series one more week, because I don't have an Alexa. Does anyone have one? Somebody does. Is Alexa smarter than Siri, at least? Because Siri is the dumbest thing on the planet. Like, she does not understand me at all. At all. Now, maybe it's just me, and I'm starting to feel a little like it's just me, because our Comcast remote doesn't understand me either, and I can hand it to my daughter, and she can say the same words, and it goes, okay, no problem, and does it. And anything I say to our remote, it just goes, I'm sorry, I didn't get that. That's over. And so I don't know. Maybe you can just have Alexa pray for you. But if you don't have one, I kind of feel like maybe just having Alexa recite the prayer probably wouldn't help. And besides, if I did it, I would be like, Alexa, please pray the Lord's Prayer. And it would be like ordering Nike Air, you know, it would be something totally playing Jay-Z, imaginary player. Like, it would be something like that, or, you know. So maybe, here's the thing, I was thinking, like, until technology takes over for us and we don't have to pray anymore, which is several weeks away, I was hoping that maybe we could just spend one more week thinking about this idea that we started with, that Scripture says that it's possible, at least, that we could not worry about anything. We spent last month talking about anxiety, how, oh man, are we just plagued with this? Do we wrestle with this anxiety, these anxious feelings, this sort of this idea that our what ifs are ruining our what is, and Scripture gives us this antidote, not an antidote, but an antidote that says don't worry about anything, which would be fantastic. Instead, pray about everything, and I don't think Alexa's gonna do that for us, but I just wanted to give you one more thing to worry about, right, since you're already worrying. What if you're worrying about the wrong thing? Have you ever thought about that? Like, if you're a worrier like I am, like, we worry about the wrong things, like, and I probably shouldn't say this because it's gonna make your life harder, but like, we tend to worry about school shooters for our children, worry about swimming pools. That's the killer of kids. Yeah, you're like, great. And I'm going, that's why we don't have a pool, honey. I know you think it's kind of cheap. It's really not. I'm protecting you. But anyway, like, there's all these things. Like, we lock our doors and we don't change our passwords. And nobody wants your TV. They want your bank account. Or you change your passwords and you forget to lock your doors and someone just comes in. So we don't even know what to worry. We're not even good at worrying. We worry about terrorism and not distracted drivers, isn't it? I mean, we don't know what to worry about. So that's why I'm glad to say this morning that there is a part of the Lord's Prayer, and apparently Jesus was fairly good at praying, and he taught us, it kind of shows up, that at the end of this prayer, he says something sort of remarkable, and it's sort of weird, and it's translated different ways. Sometimes it says, deliver us from evil. Some the translation we're using says, deliver us from the evil one. But there's an idea at the end of the Lord's Prayer that he's saying, hey, just watch over us, God in heaven, and protect us from evil. You know, Satan get you, gonna get you. Oh, that sounds bell. So that's not my scripture. I don't know. That's what I thought. I'm like, how can we, you know, sort of, at the end, we don't even know what to pray for, when we don't even know what to be worried about, when we have no ability to even, you know, like, pray the right prayer because we don't know what's coming. And so that's where Jesus, as he taught his followers to pray again and again, he said, sort of in wrapping up, it was forever and ever, thine is the kingdom, amen. That was not it, that was Advent, but the idea was deliver us from evil, or save us from the evil one. Now, here's the thing about prayer, and we really haven't talked about this much, but we can't end this series without just admitting to ourselves, at least, that prayer is spiritual. It is not, you know, pull the lever and it comes out the slot. That's not the way prayer is. In fact, one of the most famous scriptures about prayer says these words, says we're not fighting, and this is this idea of praying, God protect us from evil. We're not fighting against flesh and blood. He's like, this isn't really just praying for, you know, to keep the robbers away from our house and to keep that guy from veering across the center line and keep that person away from my kid. We're dealing with something bigger. We're dealing with something that we can't see. We're dealing with something spiritual. That's where we fight. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. And that makes us really uncomfortable as Americans in 2018, because it just sounds weird. And I'll admit, I've been to churches and grew up around churches where there was, like, every time the toaster didn't work, it was a demon-possessed toaster. And I'm thinking maybe not, maybe just like bad early 70s electronics, but maybe there's a toaster demon. And then we like to kind of go, hey, there's no demons at all. We just sort of went, but that, where did they go? And so my guess is we're missing something today, because we sort of just believe in the natural world and we don't think about the spiritual world probably nearly enough. And so I just wanted to read a couple things this morning to just remind you, and I will tell you up front, you should never say this if you're a preacher, if you're ever up here and you're preaching. I don't know what most of these things mean. And this is not because, like, I didn't study this week, or I was just like, there was something really good on Netflix, so I have to put zero time into this. Like, this next verse that I've read, I studied, I read, I asked my dad, like, you know, when you do that, my dad's a preacher. It wasn't just like he's sitting somewhere and I go, hey, Dad, what do you think? But there's a scripture that I think is interesting, and I wanted to tell you what it means, and I can't, but it points to this idea that we don't know what's going on when we pray nearly as much. It says this. This is the prophet Daniel. It says, but he said, this is a angel speaking to Daniel. So then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day you begin to pray for understanding and to humble yourself before God, your request has been heard in heaven. And I have come to answer your prayer, but for 21 days, once again, the same idea that was in the New Testament of there are spiritual beings in high places that are evil and they're against us. It says, I've come to answer your prayer, but for 21 days, for 3 weeks, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia walked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me, and I left him there with the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia. What this speaks to, and once again, I can't explain it to you, and I read things and I go, I still don't understand how this would work, but there's an idea that there are spiritual beings, there are demons, there are evil beings that are actually trying to actively block your prayers from being answered. And the scripture says that, oh my goodness, we heard your prayer, and I was trying to deliver an answer, and someone stopped me, and I had to leave my buddy Michael there. I don't know what they're doing, like wrestling around and hurt. It's very confusing, and I'm not making light of it. I'm just telling you, I just want you to know this morning and to remind you, as uncomfortable and as weird as it is, that prayer is not a transactional thing. It's not like we're pulling the lever and out pops the answer. And when we think like that, we think like, oh, if we pray, we can manipulate God to do anything, or we don't even know what's really happening when we're praying. And I think one thing I've learned over the last couple months thinking about prayer is just, I take it way too much for granted that it's even possible. Like this thing of like, going, hey, I get to talk to the creator of the universe anytime I want. And guess what? I don't have enough time to do it most of the day. Do you know what I mean? Like, that is so wrong. How is that even possible? Here's another one that gives me comfort, at least. It says, and the Holy Spirit helps us. This is from Romans. Paul wrote these words. The Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Just this idea of, guess what? If we even knew that God would answer our prayer, we wouldn't even know what to pray for, because we're so finite in our understanding of life and what's coming up. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. How many of you have one of those? Where you just go, I don't know. God help. And so here's what I'll say after all of that. And I, please, I'm not making you lie to the spirit of the Lord. I'm just saying, I don't think we understand, even if you look into it, that we understand it's not nearly as cut and dry as we think. I will say this, I feel strongly about this, that the Holy Spirit is greater than Alexa, at least, right? Can we all agree on that? I think we can. So at least we have that Spirit in our heart that can help us pray, that can help us go, God, I don't even know what to be worried about, but I'm worried. That's what moms do. That's your job. That's amazing. Like, moms are like, I don't know what's going to happen, but it's not good. And so we should pray, but we should think about it. And so that's good. But here's the thing. How do we do that? And in light of the fact there's so much we don't understand, in light of the fact that, like, you know, throughout the years you see that, man, there's way more going on spiritually than we'll ever know until we our eyes are open to that. Scripture says that we're looking at best, it says, through a glass darkly, meaning like we have dirty sunglasses on when it comes to looking at spiritual things. We might catch a glimpse of it. Have you ever done that? You wear your sunglasses till the end of the evening and all of a sudden you realize, like, I can't see anymore, and you go, whoo, that's amazing. You know, like, that's the thing that Scripture says, that someday when we get to heaven, those glasses come off and go, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that was there. And so I thought what we could do to just sort of end this day out, it's going to be a different kind of day for Action Church, I will tell you, is I want to do a couple of things. Jesus actually prayed a prayer before he left. And we mentioned it before, but I don't think I really kind of read through what he prayed. And I want to, you know, Jesus was teaching us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. And again in Scripture, we find that Jesus walks away for hours at a time and just prays to his Father in heaven. But this is one of the few prayers that's actually recorded. And I think it's awesome that we actually, and obviously he wanted it to happen because he didn't want the others to happen. We don't know what he communicated with his Father, but this is actually one that he prayed and allowed for it to be recorded by his friend John. And so I want to read that to you, and then we're actually going to put this into action this morning as we take communion and pray for each other. But don't worry about that. We've got a plan where introverts like me and you can make this work. But I want to read first what Jesus said. It said, after saying all of these things, Jesus looked up to heaven. And he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that he can give glory back to you. Now, this is directly before he is going to be crucified and betrayed and crucified. For you have given him authority over everyone. And he, himself, Jesus, gives eternal life to each one that you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life. To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. Jesus is very, very clear on one thing, and it's how salvation works. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into your glory that we shared before the world began. I revealed you to the ones who gave me in this world, and they were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it, and I know that I came from you. And they believe you sent me. Now, Jesus continues on. My prayer is not for the world. Notice he's praying for his followers, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you, and all who are mine belong to you. He said, This was planned from the beginning, and I have these followers, and this is part of the plan. And in fact, we know, because we've read the end of the book, and we have the benefit of years later, that he knew that it was just beginning, because the church was going to spring up, and 2,000 years later, we'd be part of that. He said, now I'm departing from the world, and they are staying in this world, but I am coming to you, Holy Father. You have given me your name. Now protect them, listen to this, by the power of your name, so that they will be united just as we are. During my time here, I protected them by the power of the name you gave me. And I guarded them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction. He's talking ahead of time about Judas, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. And I told them many things while I was with them in the world, so they would be filled with my joy. And I have given them your word. And the world hates them, because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. See, Jesus prayed for his followers. exactly what he taught us to pray. Father, keep them safe from the evil one. Keep them from the evil. And this is not sort of, oh, there's a demon behind every bush and you should be scared, but we should have a healthy understanding that there's more than we can see, and it isn't all unicorns and light, that there are some evil, evil things out there. And Jesus himself, the reason why I read this, I wanted you to know that Jesus thought that they were not for you, they were against you if you're a follower of him this morning. Now, prayer continues. That they do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into this world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who ever believe in me through their message. I pray that they will be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so they may be one. They may be as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want those who you have always given me to be with me where I am. Wants us to come with him. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Oh, righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do. And these disciples know you sent me. I have revealed you to them and will continue to do so. And your love for me will be in them. See, I think this is amazing. I wanted to share it, and even though I'm really bad at reading aloud, I wanted to make it right behind me. Like, I wanted to read this to you, and I want you to know that Jesus prayed for you and me. He said, I'm praying not only for these disciples, not just the people here, but all of those who ever believe in me through their message. Isn't that amazing that all those years ago, like, he's looking forward to his death, not in a, hey, I can't wait, but like, you know, I know what's coming way, and he knows that Judas is going to betray him and walk away, and he knows all of those things, but he's going, and guess what? He's foretelling the church, because who would have thought his, like, ragtag disciples who all walked away from him when he was killed would join back together when they see him alive. Remember, Christianity is not based on the teachings of Jesus. It's not based on some scripture. It's based on the fact they go, he was dead, and he's alive, we should listen to him. And so he prayed for you and me. And Jesus' prayer for us is just like he taught us to pray, and his prayer is that we would be protected from the evil one. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus was primarily concerned. I'm not going to say what Jesus was worried about, because Jesus wasn't worried, but Jesus was concerned from this prayer about two things. Because I pray that they be one just as you and I are one, and that they may be in us so that the world believes you sent me. And he also says that he prays that we would know the truth through his word. They do not belong to this world. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. See, Jesus prayed two things. And this was Jesus' concern about us. See, our concern is different. Like, we don't really know what to be concerned about because we're human. But we would pray, and I pray, and we're going to pray together today, our concerns. But this is actually Jesus praying for us, looking into the future and predicting something that no one thought would happen. And his concerns for us were not what we would imagine. You know, we would be like, keep us from the evil one. And taxes, or keep us from the evil one, and cancer. You know, these are all horrible, horrible things. Or keep us from the evil one, and heart disease and diabetes. Keep us from the evil ones and bad influences on our kids. Keep us from the evil one, and by that we mean cult leaders and politicians and school shootings. You know, this is not what he said. He said, I want my prayer, my biggest concern, is that they know the truth. And that they're unified, and we kind of put the negative side on that to better understand it. Jesus was worried about Jesus' work. Jesus was concerned. Primary concern is that Satan, the evil one, would divide and deceive us. Feel like that might have happened throughout the years a lot. And isn't that interesting? I was thinking about that this week, like, wow. Of all the concerns we have and all the things we pray, oh, keep us from evil. When Jesus looked into the future, when he prayed for you, he said, man, I know, I can just see what's coming. They're going to be divided. They're going to all have a different brand, and they're all going to have, you know, ooh, we're going to argue over things that don't matter, and we're going to divide ourselves by socioeconomic, I can't say that, you know, divisions and racial divisions, and hey, I believe this, and you don't believe this, and I'm not saying everybody can get along, and I'm not even saying we should believe the same thing, but Jesus was concerned that within this idea of Christianity, just like it's happening today, we'd be so fractured that we're not nearly as strong as we could. And that we would be deceived. That we would believe a lie. Again and again, he says, your word, and scripture is very clear what that word is. Now, we don't have, you know, every word spoken by Jesus. The writer said that it would take every book we had. If that were the case, we don't have every word of Jesus, but throughout the years, we have inspired words of God, and we have a record of how he dealt with people all the way from the very beginning. And Jesus was concerned that we would begin to stray from that and no longer believe that and be deceived by people. In fact, he talks about, like in Matthew, I was reading this week in Matthew 24, where he's saying, even if an angel, you know, even if some guy who's glowing and looks like Thor comes to you and tells you something different, don't listen to him. How come every one of my scriptures, like, think about the Avengers? That's just wrong. But anyway, like, it's like, maybe he's like, don't listen. And so, I think we should probably pray for that for each other. Oh, don't let us be deceived and find ways. And I'm not going this morning like, hey, we're going to do it all. I understand. I'm not a child. I understand why we are divided, that at least within our little family, I think we can do something about that. Now, here's what I want to do kind of in closing. To kind of go back to the beginning and say, scripture says don't worry about anything. And pray about everything. Now, we're going to celebrate communion together, which is interesting because immediately after this prayer we read from Jesus, he was basically moving into that space where they have what we now reenact to remember the time. Gather his friends together. They had one last meal. He dismissed Judas to go betray them. And they had one last time together, and he reminded them, hey guys, I'm going to die soon. And it was freaky to them. They're like, I don't know what you're going for. But he's like, this bread that we have, let's pretend this is my body. I want to show you that I'm sacrificing it for you. Eat up. And they're like, that's weird and gross, but I do like bread, so okay. And he's like, this cup of wine, pass it around, because this is my blood. I'm going to pour out my blood. And they're like, wow, I can't get behind that, but okay. But what he was saying is, I want you to remember. I want you to remember two things. Not only that I'm going to die for you, but that I wanted you to be together, and I wanted you to remember, and all of you together are what it's going to take to see this thing through. And oh, they did it, and we are so fortunate that they did, because we're here today. So I thought we'd do something. Now, we've done communion before, and it's always a little strange. We're such a bad church of tradition, and that's my fault, because I come from like 13,000 different just traditions that you probably do, and I'm bad at all of them, so this is my fault that we're not good at this, but we're going to try something even different today, because I thought in this last day, I'd like for us to pray for each other, and I know, this is not on you, this is me, like, just I was saying, maybe we just gather together and pray, and I was like, I can't do that, man, that's going to be so weird, because I'm so bad at that, you've experienced that if I prayed with you, but here's the thing, like, we need to pray for each other. And we need a way to know what to pray about. Like, I'm standing up here this morning, and you go, I'm sure everything's great for Don, except for those white boots he's wearing. I don't understand that. But other than that, things are cool with him. I'm telling you, they're not. I'm telling you, like, I'm not going to go to each one of you and say, but like, I'm concerned. I'll say, I'm worried because my dad needs a pacemaker, and he takes care of my mom who had a stroke, and we're not sure where to put her during that, and she's really nervous about going to the nursing home, and we're 1,000 miles away, and it's on my mind. We got somebody else in my family who the doctors can't figure out something that's really, really harming them, and I've got another family member that's going through just a messy divorce, and it's just destroying their lives, and so I've got like 1,000 things that I'm dealing with. You don't know that, except, well, I just told you, actually. But I'm betting you guys are just the same. That if you could just spill and kind of go, I'll stand up here, I'll tell you the stuff I'm worried about. I got stuff. I got issues. That probably wouldn't work very well. It would go on a long time, and it would somehow we would mess it up. But here's what I'm thinking. We put some paper up on the wall. And I'm going to start this thing out. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to step down back to that paper. If you just kind of line up with me. Here's the thing. If you're not a Christian this morning, or you're just checking this out, or you don't feel comfortable with this, just stay in your seat. You don't have to do any of this. That's a good thing, and that's kind of one thing I like about it. It's kind of dark in here. It doesn't matter. You're not going to feel it. You're not going to tell, because not everybody's going to do any one thing. But if you've got some things you'd like to pray about, thought of this idea. Maybe we'll write them up on paper. I'll read you. We'll start. And I'm just going to write some things I'd love prayer for. Maybe you follow along and write your things. And here's the thing. We're not going to all see all of them. I get that. Maybe afterwards. We're going to take this down. We're not going to leave this up week after week. So kind of like, well, we'll take it down after today. But maybe at the end of the service, you'll want to just walk out and kind of read some of those things and pray for them then. But while you're doing it, I want to write the thing down that you go, this is what's concerning me. This is what I need prayer for. This is when I think worry about nothing, pray about everything. This is the thing that comes to mind. And as you're writing that down, just look around. Maybe pick out a few of the other ones that are bothering other people. So that way, we can pray for each other this morning. Then we'll step right up and we'll experience the bread and the grape juice just like they do in communion. So I'm going to start out. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to walk to the back. If you want to join, just join in behind me, and we'll just kind of make a row. We'll see what happens. It never turns out the way I thought, but my goal is, as weird as that is, and as different as that is, that we can pray for each other today. Dear Lord, God, we've all got stuff. And God, quite frankly, I look at the church, from Action Church to every church in America, and we are just as people, we're exactly what you're worried about. We're divided, we're deceived, all of us. But God, I do pray that you taught us that we could be protected from an evil one. And God, I can't even imagine how many things that we have in our lives right now. I know I've got stuff. I know I've got stuff that worries me. I've got problems that we don't know what to do about it. I just give them to you this morning, and I pray that my brothers and sisters here at Action Church would begin to be the same thing. And God, I pray that we would not just sort of focus on our own thing, but God, through this exercise, we would begin to think about all those around us. And maybe it would be just a jumping off point to realize, like, oh, everyone around us, they have those things too. And we begin to pray for each other as the body of Christ in the name of Christ. Amen. I'm going to jump right over here.